Okay, we're continuing in Siman Kuf Tzadi Ches. The Mechaber writes in Se'if Kav Zayin, Nasna Sa'ara Befia, if a woman has hair in her mouth when she goes to the mikvah, O Karza Sif Sasa, or she closes her lips tight, O Kavsa Yada, or she closes her fist, Be'inyin Shelo Bo Hamayim Behem, Lo Asala Tvila. So if she does any of these three actions in such a way, or Karza Sif Sasa, or Kavsa Yada in such a way that the water can't penetrate fully, then the Tvila doesn't work. And that's based on the Mishnah Mikvot Periches Mishnah Hey, which we saw previously, the din of Karza Sif Sasa. We noted when we discussed this a few shiurim ago that there were two comments of the Rash that say different things, one in Periches Mikvos, one in Perigun Mikvos. What's the reason for this din that Karza Sif Sasa is a problem? Again, we're working with the principle that when it comes to Beis Hasdarim, you don't require Bias Mayim Mamish, but you require Roy LeBias Mayim. So what's the lack of Roy LeBias Mayim that you have by Karza Sif Sasa? Two Pshatim in the Rash. The Rash in Periches Mishnah Hay writes that we're talking about where you're closing your lips tightly in such a way that it's not considered Roy LeBias Mayim. It's preventing any water from coming in very emphatically. And then the Rash in Perik Yud, in the end of the Masechta, has a different formulation, that she tightens her lips in such a way, not that it's a problem with water coming in, because that's still considered Roy LeBias Mayim. The water could, theory, come in where she'd open her mouth. But the problem is that if she tightens her lips, then there's going to be some fold on the outside of her lips, the outside of her mouth, that's going to prevent the Bias Mayim in the area on the outer sides of her lips. If you look in Sif Lamed Ches, there it sounds like the Mechaber embraces the second shot of the Rash. Because the Mechaber Paskin, Sif Lamed Ches, Eina Tzvicha Liftoach Pia, Kidei Sheyichnesu Ba Hamayim. That a woman doesn't have to open her mouth to allow water to go in. According to the first shot in the Rash, it's arguable that a woman should have to open her mouth to let water go in, because if the problem is the lack of Roy LeBias Mayim on the inside when her lips are closed, she'd have to open her mouth. But the Mechaber says, no, there's no need. So that sounds like the second shot on the Rash, that the concern of Kasa Sif Sasa is on the outside and not on the inside. Ella says in Mechaber Lamaches, what's the correct posture? Lo Tix Vasasa Yosmi Dais, it shouldn't be too tight. Vim Kasa Losa Latvila, Ella Tashik Sif Sasa Zulazu Dibig Beinoni. So you should hold them in a normal, moderate, middle of the road position. They shouldn't be, they don't have to be open, but they shouldn't be too tight. Okay, the Darkei Moshe in Sivkotin Yir Aleph quotes a comment from the Gosh Shari Dura that a woman does actually need to open her mouth slightly in order to be considered Ra'oi L'Bias Mayim. That's what the Ramah quotes in the Haggah. Go ahead. That's what the Ramah quotes in the Haggah. We were going to be in 303, but the room was locked. So.
Got it.
So that's what the Haggah Shari Dura quote, the Ramah Darkei Moshe quotes in the Haggah Shari Dura, that a woman has to have her mouth open slightly to allow for Bias Mayim. And the Ramah says, that's not Mashma the way in the Torah, nor as we just saw in the Mechaber. So here it's clear that there's no need for a woman to open her mouth to allow water in. So what's the basis of this Haggah Shari Dura? So as we noted a moment ago, it sounds like he's going with the first shot in the Rash, that if we're concerned that if you close your teeth, that's not considered, your mouth is not considered to be Roy LeBias Mayim, then you have to open it slightly. Rav Vosner, the Shira Shevet Alevi, says that's one possibility in Haggah Shari Dura. And the other possibility is that maybe we're concerned that we don't know exactly what's considered to be Dibuk Beinoni. The Mechaber says that you have to hold it in a moderate position. So maybe we're worried if you're going to keep it totally closed, maybe that's too tight. So out of caution, you have to open it a little bit to make sure that you don't go in the other direction. But that's not the accepted psak. The Ramah does not quote, the Ramah himself in the Darkei Moshe says that the Torah is not like the Haggah Shari Dura. The Ramah does not quote this is a day in his Haggos and Shulchan Aruch. And the accepted psak is like the Mechaber, that there's no need to open your mouth. Rav Avner writes that, says in the Shira Shevet Levi, that even if you're concerned about the second reason, that maybe we're worried, we don't know how loose, is sufficiently loose, what's considered to be a Dibuk Beinoni. So you can go in the other direction and keep it looser than a normal position to avoid a concern that maybe it's going to be too tight. Bottom line, the accepted practice, as is evident in Shulchan Aruch, is that there's no need for a woman to open her mouth b'shas tefillah. Okay, the Piskei Tshuva, let's go back to Sif Kav Zayin again, which is the parallel we started with. Piskei Tshuva, there Sif Katan Yud Zayin, quotes from the Chamudi Daniel, Im Karza Shineha Lo Havei Chatzitza. So you can't close your mouth too tight, but if you clench your teeth, that's not considered to be a Chatzitza. So what's the difference between closing your mouth too tight and clenching your teeth? So Rabbi Four suggests that if the pshat in closing your mouth too tight is like the second perish in the Rash, that we're worried not about the water coming inside, because that's still considered right lebias mayim, we're worried about creating folds on the outside of your mouth, which is going to prevent the water from coming around everywhere it needs to come around. So then it could be that a chatzitza is only a problem bebeis hasdarim if it's a non-natural chatzitza. So if you're closing your mouth in such a way that it's going to create folds on the outside, so that's a chatzitza outside the Beis HaStarim. So that definitely bothers us. In the Beis HaStarim, any natural chatzitza is not a chatzitza. So no one would tell you that the existence of teeth poses a problem of chatzitza, even though the teeth prevent the water from fully going through them. So by the same token, just like teeth are not a chatzitza, closing the teeth tight also not a chatzitza, because that's considered a natural matter. So maybe that's the difference between closing your mouth too tight and clenching your teeth. The Ba'al Shulchan quotes in Sifkat and Reishud that the Lechem Simla is machmir, that even clenching your teeth would be a problem against the Chamud Daniel, because he understands that we are concerned about the first pshat on the Rash. And the Ba'al Shulchan says it's a lechachila matter. It's you shouldn't lechachila clench your teeth. We're talking about b'di'evit if you did so. That's what the Chamud Daniel says. Would not be a problem of chatzitza.
Okay. Is he reading the Chamud Daniel as only speaking b'di'evit, or are you just saying that
we he's saying, well, the Chamud Daniel, technically speaking, is only talking about b'di'evit. He's not saying that you should do the lechachila. The lashon is karsa shinela v'chatzitza. If you did, it's not a chatzitza. So it could be everyone would agree that lechachila you shouldn't. It's a question of b'di'evet. So the lechem simul would say even b'di'evet is not good. But the shulchan doesn't go that far as to say that you should be choshish b'di'evet, but just points out lechachila you shouldn't clench your teeth. Okay, then in Sif Lamites, the parallel halacha to karsa sif saseha is Atmei Nehabiyoser, so we saw this a few times ago also. Just again, in the context, the Mechaber writes, Lamites, Lo Satsamei Nehabiyoser, V'al Tiftachem Biyoser. Women shouldn't close their eyes too tight, shouldn't open them too wide. V'yamas is okay, Yesh Omer Shalasa Latila. That was totally, as we saw, in the Girsos and the Gemara, the Girsos Rabbeinu Chanan, do we say, Les Hilchas HaKalah HaNishmaisa, so that series of halachas in Gemara, one of them was about a Simin Seinayim, so is that lahalacha or not? So that's the 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, whether it be the Eved, if Asmei Nebi Yoser, is that Ma'akev the Tefillah. The Shach points out over here in Sivkat and Nun Aleph that there is still a difference between Karsa Sif Saseha and Asmei Neha, that Asmei Neha is more Kal. Why? He quotes in the Ran, Dechi Asmei Neha Lo Mahadki Kamatim Kulehai. So if you're going to close your eyes, even if you close them tight, you're not creating much in the way of folds on the outside of your eye. Meaning, if the concern by Karsa Sif Saseha is the folds on the outside, and the parallel concern by Atzimus Seinayim is the folds on the outside, so there are fewer folds that would be created by Atzimus Seinayim than by Karsa Sif Saseha. So there's more to be makele about, in theory, b'di'eved, when it comes to Atzmei Neha Biyoser, even though we are choshesh for the Yesh Omrim, that lo also la tefillah. Okay, let's look back now at Sif Kav Ches. Lo se'echos b'chaverta b'yada b'shas tefila. So if a woman needs assistance going to the mikvah, she has some kind, I mean, technically talking about any situation, but this would be relevant if a woman has some kind of disability and can't get into the mikvah on her own, needs some assistance. So the Mechaber writes that another woman shouldn't hold the woman going to the mikvah with her hands b'shas tefila. Elim kain rafsa yada, unless she loosens her hands, she holds her loosely. So water could go totally around the hands of the person giving the assistance. But if the woman assisting the tavelas rinses her hands with water first, not talking about any water, even though according to some Rishonim it might be sufficient, but he says, no, it has to be mei mikvah. So if she rinses her hands first with the mei mikvah, then shari, shemashka tofeach shal yadeh chibur l'mei mikvah. That mashka, which is tofeach, shach reis amachas, you actually need tofeach amenasa piach, not just that it's moist, but there's enough water on the assistant's hands that she could then get something else wet with that water, that's tofeach amenasa piach. So then that creates a chibur between the hands of the assistant and the tovelas, so that would not constitute a chatzitza. So if, you know, the best way of doing this, if you need assistance, would be if the person assisting can let go for a moment, and then the woman is going to be totally submerged in the water without any assistance. But if that's impossible, so option number two is that the woman assisting the toveles needs to rinse her hands with mei mikvah, and that's going to solve the potential problem of chatzitza. Okay, related halacha to that is siflamid, the din of
I'm
sorry? What?
Does it need to be underwater? You can just do it in a minute later.
What do you mean a minute later?
If she takes her hands out a minute later, it's pretty much dry. Like, where do you...
No, while the tovelis is in the mikvah, so the...
She puts her hand underwater then.
Right.
Okay,
but the related halacha to that of mayim akdimim is siflamid. Ain't a tzricha like biragla b'shas tefila. So when a woman goes to the mikvah, she doesn't have to float or sink. She doesn't have to keep her feet off the bottom of the mikvah. In ain sham tit, afa b'shad deresas ala ritzba ain kan chatzitza v'nei shemayim akdim l'ragla. So you don't require going to the mikvah in a position where your feet are off the ground because of this din of mayim akdimim. The feet are going to come in contact with mikvah water. So once they came in contact with mikvah water, the fact that the feet touch the bottom of the mikvah doesn't pose a chatzitza problem. That's the din of mayim makdimim. So therefore, a woman does not need to keep her feet suspended in the mikvah while being tovelis. Okay. The Gemara on Samach Vav Amud Beis has the following related to the din of tefila b'kelim, which we're not really going to spend time on, but just to present the Rashi Prakim. This is the din here in Sif Lamed Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, a very long taz analyzing what's actually behind that Gemara. But the Gemara in the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Beis has a memor of Rava initially. Amar Rava, a woman should not stand on top of a kli cheres and go to the mikvah while standing on the kli cheres. Why? We're concerned about gzeres merchatzos. What does that mean, says Rashi? Shederach merchatzos leishav agabi yistavos shel adam. When you go to the bathhouse, you typically sit on some kind of platform. Didami l'kli cheres. So if we allow you to sit on a kli chayres when going to the mikvah, then you may come to go to the mikvah in a beis hamerchatz, which is not a mikvah. Then the Gemara says, if that's the concern of zeris merchatzos, ha'agabu silsa shaper dami, then you should be able to sit on a silsa, Rashi, bikas ava kama b'chaverta v'lo b'silsa, is some kind of a thick piece of wood, which is not a kli. And not typically used in a beis hamerchatz. Amalei Rav Chana minarda hasam time amai mishim de ba'is silsanami ba'isa. No, there's another consideration. that you can't sit on a silsa, even if it's not a kli, and it's not subject to gzeres merchatzos, but we're worried about your fear factor. Rashi, shelatipo v'latavla shaper, worried that the woman is going to be afraid that she's going to slip off, and therefore she's not going to pay proper attention to doing a tvila kehalacha. So there were two different issues that the Gemara raises here. One is a problem with tefillah b'kelim, that you can't be tovelas in a kli or on a kli because of this gzeiras mirchatzos. And the second one is, even if something is technically not a kli, but if there's a concern of b'isusa that you're not going to be properly in sound frame of mind when going to the mikveh because of fear that you may fall, then that would be problematic as well. So that's what the Mechaber writes here in Sif Lamed Aleph, that we are concerned about both of those considerations. Halacha number one, you can't be toveles the kli, and number two, even if something's not a kli, if it is going to lead to some kind of fear factor, you can't stand on such a platform either. Okay. Then the Gemara has another din. Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Isha lo titbal binamal. A woman cannot go to mikveh in a port. Afal gav de hashtaleka emar berduni nafal. So what's that all about? That says Rashi. Binamal, port, in case you didn't know what a namal was. Malkam shasvinos nikbos. So the place where the boats all come into shore. And what's the problem there? If you go to the mikveh there, there is a lot of tit that is drawn out because of the traffic at the port, and that's going to constitute a potential chatzitza. So women can't go to the mikveh in a port because there's going to be tit, and the tit could constitute a chatzitza. She's going to stand on the tit. That will be a chatzitza. Tosvos has a different shot. So then the Hazrashi understand the next line. Afagav dehashta leka emar birduni nafal. Even though now there's no tit, maybe birduni nafal. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Birduni nafal hatit me'aleha. Maybe the tit fell off, but it's still there somewhere. What does birduni mean? Eini yodei lashono. So Rashi doesn't know what it means either. V'nir shulashon shichshuch, rubbing against, shashichshucha raglaha b'mayim b'tseisa nafal. That even though right now you don't see any tit, there's no clear presentation, but maybe when she went into the mikvah, she was rubbing against the tit that existed, and that moved the tit away, but at the time that she was toveles, there actually was tit, that it could constitute a chatzitza. So Rashi understands, even though there's no tit that presents itself now, Amar birduni nafal, maybe when she was rubbing against the, she was rubbing her feet on the water, on the way out, the tit was pushed away, and that's why we don't see it now, but it was there, b'shas tefila. Okay, take a look at Tosfos, Samach Vavam and Vez, Isha letitbal ben amal. He quotes Rashi. Lerbeinu tam nira kipesha beinu chananel. Lo titbo benamal, why? Kibinei adam mitzuyin sham. Totally different reason. A port is a public place. There are a lot of people around. Ubi isa, so she's going to be afraid to go to the mikveh in public. Ume meheres, she's going to rush the job. Mnesha boshem ne adam mitzuyin sham. She's embarrassed to be toveles in the presence of other people. And that's the hemshech l'gemara here, the previous halacha of silsa, of being toveles on a wooden plank, which is not a kli, is nevertheless problematic because she's going to be afraid that she's going to slip. So this also is because of a certain fear factor that's going to lead to a improper rushed job tefillah.
Why don't we just say
Asur Kristin Yisr?
What's someone could come and see her.
That's not advisable. It's not an isser. There's no gzeira the rabbana that you can't go to the mikveh in a place where someone can see you.
To put yourself in a situation where it's very likely that someone will see you.
So that's not advisable. That's the minhag that of the Rama quotes to be master lel tfilasa. But there's no, or tfilasa, but there's no gzeira the rabbana that was formulated to ban tfila in such a place. But the concern here is that you're going to do a rush up. So any time. In a situation where there's a concern you're going to do a rush up, so then Chazal may even goes there that you shouldn't be tovel in such a situation.
She could just go swimming and rope. And then
she could what?
She goes swimming and rope, that's being go out. It's not like there's a word.
Fine, but I suppose it's true, but I'm also just saying generally, in terms of general sneeze, nothing to do with being tovel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's necessarily a formal isser, but mm-hmm. It must be very hard to say that anyone could expose erva in a public place.
It's not exposing erva that you wear a robe.
Is that the case?
No, she's go, but she's okay, or she's no one's going to see when she goes under. She does it in a more secluded area, but. The point is that, according to Ibn Atam, the concern of an amal is in a public place, a woman's going to rush to do it quickly and may not do a proper job. But the Ibn Atam holds that b'di eved, to lichachi, there shouldn't be tovel in such a place, but b'di eved, if you were, and then you're reasonably confident that you did the tefillah kalacha, it would be chal b'di eved. But there's some discussion that within the spirit of Rabbeinu Tam's pshat, there are other situations that would fall into the same category of not being tovel in a place where we're worried a woman is going to rush the job. So Darkei Moshe quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham that also applies in a place where we're worried about goyim around to may cause trouble, and a woman's going to rush to do her tefillah to get out of there as quickly as possible, that would be a similar consideration. So the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, here in Se'if Lamed Gimel, Lo Tipol, so we're concerned about both Rashi's Pshat and Tosis' Pshat. Se'if Lamed Gimel, Lo Tipol B'machem She'esh B'karki Iso Tit, a woman shouldn't go to the mikveh in a place where there is tit on the ground, Mishum Chatzitza, Alem Kein, Titin Alevz Moros, V'chayotzi Behem, unless you put something down that's not going to run into the problem with tefillah b'kelim, but would solve the potential problem of tit being a chatzitza. Now the Shach looked back at Sukkot and Mem, so we quoted in Sif Lamed that a woman doesn't need to jump or suspend her feet at the mikvah because of Din HaMayim Makdimim. The way the Mechaber formulated with that was Him Ein Sham Tit, there's no tit. So ask the Shach over there 1 second. Tzarachiyah. So in Sif Lamed it sounds like if there's tit, you have to jump up, but the tefillah is still a good tefillah. And we just saw Sif Lamed Gimel. If there's tit, you should go to the mikveh at all. Says the Shach, v'efshar d'achanami kamar. D'be'ein sham tit, en tzirich alag b'yir agla. Aval b'shiyeh sham tit, lo tipo klau. So, in achanami, maybe in Sif Lamed, all the Mechaber means to say is that if there's no tit, then you don't have to jump up. If there is tit, you shouldn't go to the mikveh at all. Ulamay d'kasafti l'kaman sekhati memzayin d'yishkel v'in tit l'tit. Asishapir. So the Shach just points out that there may be different grades of tit. So some tit you shouldn't be tovelis at all with, and some is a more solvable problem. So that might explain the difference between the formulation in Sif Lamed and in Sif Lamed Gimel. And then Sif Lamed Dal, the Mechaber says the Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of Namal. Lo titpol b'malchem sheish kashash sheir b'nei adam, yiru b'nei adam, and they should be tokach, and the Harris litpol. So a woman shouldn't go to the mikveh in a place where she's worried people may see her, because she's going to do a rush up. Ve'enem v'daitekes b'tfila. V'miyu b'di'eved, also la tfila. But b'di'eved, if she did a proper job, the tfila counts. Vader Shulchan in Sivkatan Reis Samachvav quotes a machlokas achron about other scenarios. There's some discussion. Let's say you go to a mikvah that has frogs. It's infested with frogs. So you're allowed to go to such a mikvah. So there also, a woman may be inclined to do a rush job because she doesn't like hanging out with frogs. Should be understandable. Or if you have a mikvah that's too cold, or a mikvah that's too hot, or a mikvah that's somewhat uncomfortable. The Divrei Malkiel has in Chele Beis Simen Nun Ches, Chele Beis Simen Nun Ches, if it's too deep, and she's not a good swimmer. So there could be other scenarios where at least lechachila, you shouldn't go to a mikvah under suboptimal circumstances where we're worried that a woman may do a rush job because she wants to get out of there as quickly as possible. Okay. Sif Lamed Hei, Sif Lamed Zayin, the Mechaber just, Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, rather, the Mechaber just tells us the correct posture for tefillah. If you stand too straight, then that could create certain parts of the body may not be sufficiently exposed to the mikvah water. If she's going to bend too much, then that's going to create extra folds in the body. You bend a little bit. The position that you take, leaning forward a little bit when you need dough. Oregas, the position of weaving. The im shin sakagon sheshach sabi yoser, zakhav yoser, also la tvila vi yishmisha omer, shelo also. The Shach questions what that day of also is based on. Okay. And that's the recommended position for Tevila. And Sifla Mivav, Tzorchia Mikvah Gavo Mimali Tibura Zara Safachos, that there has to be a zeres, we assume it's about a foot's worth of mikvah water above a woman's navel when she goes into the mikvah. Okay, Sif Mem.
How does she go to the mikvah?
I'm sorry?
How does she go to the mikvah?
How does she go to the mikvah?
She goes a foot above, it doesn't go above her head?
No, when she's standing, meaning there has to be at least... If she's standing in the mikvah, there should be before she fully immerses, that should be the default amount of water between...
So in that case, you're just revealing everything and then it can be folded?
I'm sorry?
Because she can't stand the way it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's just revealing it and getting water underneath.
Mm-hmm.
She's just horizontal.
Okay. Se'if mem. Sarach lahavin lagabi Yehudis gedola yosem yibes shanav yamechad b'shash yitavelas. So you have to have a mikveh attendant who is a Jewish woman above the age of bas mitzvah. She'tira shelo yishar misar rosh atzaf al p'nei mayim to make sure that there's no hair that isn't fully submerged. So if there's no one available, or it's at night and the person can't see, there's no light, so you have to tie the hair in such a way to avoid the potential of it not being fully submerged, or use a net. Okay. So this requirement of having a mikveh attendant, we find in Rishonim, the Rush, the Rashba, that the purpose is to make sure that all the hair goes under the water. The Ravid, who has this formulation of using a net or tying the hair in such a way to prevent it. So that's the way the Beis Yosef explains the context of where there's no one around, there's no other Eitzah, so that's the next best option, and that's the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo and the Agur the following formulation. Isha Yehudis O Baila O Nara Shi Gedola Yosef Beis Shana V'Yamechad, who should be used as a mikveh attendant, either a Jewish woman or her husband, or a girl over the age of 12. So in the footnotes on the bottom of the Machon Yerushalayim Tor, they quote that in the Augur himself, this line, O Baila, doesn't appear. It just says, Isha Yehudis O Nara Gedol Miyud Beis, but in the Kolbo it does. So Baila we'll come back to. Why does it have to be a woman over the age of Bas Mitzvah? Says the Gaon here, Sivkata Memhei, Debedavid Eschazik Yisura, Eino Namen HaKatan, Afil B'Derbanan. Here we're talking about Eschazik Yisura. The woman is Becheskas Temei Labayla, Becheskas Tahor Asur Labayla, and now we want to be Matir her. So in order to remove a woman from Becheskas Yisur, you need to have a Gedola. The katan has no nemanus against its chazek isura. What about a non-observant woman? So Moshe Yerodei Chelik Aleph Siman Kofei was asked this question: can you have a non-observant mikveh attendant? So Moshe writes, Pashut, that you can't rely on such a person to attest to the kashrus of the tefillah, to say that she went under and submerged herself totally with all her hair, because it's Ischazik Yisura. So just like you need a woman who's not a ktani, you need a gedola, because a katan is no nemanus, Ischazik Yisura. So to a non-Jew is no nemanus, Ischazik Yisura. And so too, someone who is a mumaris. Then Rav Moshe says, you don't even have to cook. Yeah.
This whole thing with menhugs, unless the menhug is that to not use a non-Jew, how would you say that?
It's more than a menhug. It's saying that in order to...
They never did that before.
Before what?
Before the rush, the menhug.
How do you know?
Why would you think you don't need the chazik from Yisura for anything else?
I'm sorry?
You don't have the halach for anything else.
What do you mean?
That someone's not believed that something's also.
What the Gaon is saying here is that since we're talking about Ischazik Yisura, you need representation that the Cheskas Yisur has been removed, and for that you need...
The halacha she can do that.
I'm sorry?
The halacha she can do that.
Lalacha, the Tavelis herself can do that?
Yeah.
So Lalacha, she has ne'emanus of a safrila, right? But so it sounds like here, we're talking about the milsa delo rami anafsha. We're talking about something that a woman has no way of knowing, no way of representing whether she was properly, whether all her hair went under the waterline, because she can't see that. So she has nemanus to safrila to say that she can't do shivan akiyam. She has nemanus to say that which is biyada, but this is not considered within the realm of her knowledge to be able to represent. Anyway, so Moshe says that even you don't even come out to that reason of his chazak yisura. He says that even without his chazak yisura, a katan wouldn't have ne'emanus, because we're talking about a deraisa. What do you mean we're talking about a deraisa? Chatzitzas miyud is only dirabanan. Einam akri is only dirabanan. So what's the deraisa? He says, no. But the fact that it's true that a chatzitz on a miyut or a chatzitz on einam akri is only dirabanan. But tvila of kalgufa, that's clearly deraisa. In order, if a woman goes to the mikvah and one of her fingers is sticking out, then minatora, that's not a tvila, that's not a derabanan, that's a deraisa. So if she goes to the mikvah and her hair is sticking out, so even though the hairs are a miyut, but that's not a tvila on a deraisa level, because she hasn't totally submerged in the water. So Moshe says, we're really talking about a deraisa, not a derabanan.
How could she not be believed on that?
I'm sorry?
She knows if she's fully underwater.
She doesn't know if all her hairs are underwater.
Oh, all her hairs.
So that's the point. Because maybe the Gaon said we said the Rav Chadamilsa, that even if it's only Derabbanan, we wouldn't have Nemanis. But in the Chanam, we're talking about a Deraisa here. But Isha Mumeris Tvila has no Nemanis even for other people. Mumer Lo Sadavar. Fine. So says Rav Moshe. Okay, take a look at the Piskei Tshuva back in Siman Kuf Tzadi Hei, Sifkatan Beis. Kuf Tzadi Hei Sifkatan Beis, a famous note of Yehuda. Tinyana Yerodeya Kuf Kaf Beis. Ish v'isha dar mikvar. So man and woman live in a village. V'ein sham Yehudi o Yehudi zulas hazug levadam. They're the only Jews in town. Luckily, they have a mikvah, but they're the only Jews in town. So there's no mikvah attendant, there are no other Jews. The only option is the husband. The second question. Kasav. Shemitzad asvara nira kevin de iser negiya v'chein iser stachlis mkamas amuchusim hushem yavali de hergel davar. So the whole reason for the Isser, Histaklus, Isser Nagi, if he needs to physically assist her to get into the mikvah, is because Hergal Avera, Beragazel, Lo Chashina, Lo Shavagater, Chetaka, Beragazel, Mutaris, Bala Yusam, and Amayim. So it's Gita Vialabam Kachar almost. Lochain, Miyevshar, Binyan Acher, Yesh, Lahatir. So where there's no Rera, that would be mutter, and that in fact was the lashon in the Kolbo of Ishi Yehuda Sabayla. There is that kind of hechatimsa where, says the Nod Yehuda, you could even use your husband where there's no other choice. What happens if you don't use a mikvah attendant? So back here in Kuf Tzadi Ches, Piskei Tshuva, Sifkas, and Kaf Beis. I am a Jew through Kiveger. Dim lo, asa tikun zeh, v'tavla beinu bein atzma, lo, asa tvila. Doesn't work.
So, the piece that the Shulchan Aruch was talking about before, and Sif Mem.
You mean of tying the hair?
Yeah.
It's where you didn't do that. It means where there's no mikvah attendant, and right, you didn't follow the Ravid's ace of tying the hair in such a way that it's definitely going to go under.
Okay, so Rabbi Kiva Eger would say that if you didn't even do that, then you're as well also.
Right.
What's the story that the husband could be the mikvah lady?
What do you mean?
We said before because the hergal avera.
The only reason not to is because of hergal avera. So here the other Yehuda says, as soon as she gets out, she'll be muteres. So we're not worried. Lo shavika teir v'achli isura within a few seconds. There is, however, Sidrei Tara, Sif Kata, an Ayin Tes. Quotes from Shlomo Kluger. Mikal Malkam Nira Dafka Beisha She'ena Zriza Ubuhula B'mayim. Aval Hecha She'zriza Me'ena Nifalim B'mayim. V'tav Sasara B'yada Ad She'mayim Olam Heitev Al Rosha. So where there's no bikkur attendant available, so if a woman's careful and is reasonably confident that she took the necessary precautions and made sure that her hair goes underwater, then you could be makel that that's a good tefillah, even if there's no attendant. And the Aruch HaShulchan basically says that as well. He has the following raya. Ravadia, Taras Abayis, Pesh Kufayin Dalid, has the following raya that a mikveh attendant would not be li'ikuva. What's the raya? We're going to see in a few moments. The last se'if in this siman is that you require kavana for tefillah. If a woman goes to the mikveh without kavana, it's questionable whether that tefillah is good. You need kavana. So, however, we'll see that if Shach and the Taz will say that if the woman herself doesn't have kavana, but someone pushes her into the mikveh, and the person who pushed her has kavana, then the kavana of the pusher is sufficient. So says Rav Avadya, if that's the case, so what's the story, what's the case where a woman goes to the mikvah and one second. It says like this. So that's the machlokas, whether if a woman goes without kavana, is that good? So if you say that a woman who goes without kavana, the tefillah is good. So she fell off a bridge, and the tefillah is good. So the case must be where she fell off on her own, because if someone pushed her, that's good anyway. Because the person who pushed her provides the kavana. So if you say that kavana isn't necessary, and we're talking about a case where she fell in on her own, clearly no one's watching her, and yet the tefillah is good b'di'eved. So there must be a scenario where the tefillah is good b'di'eved, even if no one is watching her. That's Rav Avadya's raya, that the mikveh attendant would not be li'ikuva. The case, so that's Gemara and Chulin Laman Aleph. We'll get to that in its context in a few moments. But his raya is that if you have a scenario where a woman falls into the mikveh on her own without kavana, and that works, even though there's no kavana, so it must be where no one pushed her because if someone pushed her, Paul's going to say that that is considered having kavana. Because someone had kavana. So she fell in on her own, it still works. It must be that even if there's no attendant, the tefillah could work.
How does it say there's no one there?
I'm sorry?
It says no one pushed her, not no one's there.
Sorry?
It says no one pushed her, not no one's there. She fell on her own.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Okay. So maybe. Fine, maybe. No one, I mean, someone is watching, happened to be watching. Okay, maybe right. Okay, let's go on a little bit. Se'if membeis. Nichnesu tsroro suksamim besitke regla milamata chotzesim. So if you have pebbles or anything between toes, then that's a chatzitza. That's a beis astarim that has to be right lebi esmayim. And if there are pebbles or stones or pieces of wood, then that's not right lebi esmayim. Okay. Look at the Ramah in Sif Mem Gimel. Yesh omrim she'isha tzricha lahatil mayim kodim tefila. If a woman feels that she has to go to the bathroom, then she needs to do that before tefila. Why? She has to make sure that she's not holding it in. Because somehow, if she's holding it in, then that's a chisav and a roi l'biasmai. What's this based on? So is based on a Ravan, which is based on a Gemara Nida Bam Gimel. The Gemara there is a Shaila of a Zava, who Zava Shenekru Meme Rekla, and she went to the mikvah. Is that a good tefillah? So some Rishonim are bothered. That's all in the context of Taurus. Maybe that has nothing to do with us. Look here at the Shachnun Hay. So some of the concern is that if a woman has to go to the bathroom and relieve herself and doesn't do it, maybe there's some Eina Roy Labias Mayim Alisa Chachila. What's that based on? So Ramosha writes, Yoridei Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf. That somehow, if a woman has to go to the bathroom and is holding it in, so there's some muscles that are going to tighten up, and that would create a Eina Roi Labias Mayim Bebeis Astarim somewhere there. So that's why L'Chachila, a woman should make sure that if she needs to go to the bathroom, she does so before going to the mikvah. Okay, Sif Mem Zayin.
Just one quick
question.
Is that the same thing with
blowing
on their nose also?
Yes, that's the next line of the Ramah. Gam Sichel Hasir Tzavasachotam. That's also Beis Hasarim. You have to make sure that there's no potential Chatzitza Beis Hasarim, but that's, you don't have to go crazy, as we saw from the last Halach and the Ramban in his Hilchos Nida. Just a normal cleaning of whatever may be there. Okay, Sif Mem Zayin. Chaba writes, Min kinem shedvukim bebasar, lice. Vinoshkim beor bemakim seyar. Vinidbakim bechozak bebasar. They are tightly adhering to the hair. Sarach lasiran, ayide chamin, filagor le bitzivarni. You have to get rid of them. Vim eno yachal lasiran, eno chotzets. If you can't get rid of them, they're not chotzets. Why is that? Says a go in Sifkatan and Gimel. If you can't get rid of them, then it's considered part of the body. And Eina Makpedas. When I was in Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago, I went on Motzei Shabbos to a Shovim Shir by Rav Ben Zion Vosner in Ramat Beit Shemesh, one of Rav Vosner's sons, who was in Muncie for many years now. He's back in Eretz Yisrael full time. So he said, this is an issue sometimes in Eretz Yisrael with lice. And he says, nowadays, he doesn't think there's any case in which you could be megal, even if you can't get them out. Because nowadays, everyone's makbid on that. So you can't say that if you can't get it out, a woman's not makbid. There's no one wants lice in their hair. So even b'di eved, He thinks that there is nothing, no grounds for leniency if a woman has lice, other than shaving off all her hair, which he said is not so bad because it grows back. But that sounds like he's even more machmir than his father, because in the Shira Shevet Halevi, it says that if you know for a fact that you can't remove it, then Haina Rabise. If you absolutely can't remove it, then we say Haina Rabise. And the Piskei Das quotes from Rav Yashub as well, Perakaf Hei, Harakaf Aleph, that you can't be, if it's just difficult, then you can't be makel. Even if one person you go to says she did the best job that she could, you have to go to someone else to try to remove everything. So it could be a practical matter, there isn't much of a difference, because what he quotes from Rav Yashub sounds like, under all circumstances, you can still try to get it out, and for all intents and purposes, you can't really easily go to the mikveh until you get everything out. So maybe in theory, if there was a case where it's absolutely medically impossible to remove it, so maybe then Rav Yashiv would be makel. But it didn't sound like Rabbi Morgenstern ever encountered a case lemaisa where Rav Yashiv was makel on lice. So in practice, the difference between Rav Benzion Vosner and his father may not be that great, if existent at all. Okay, finally, Sif Memches, the din we alluded to a moment ago. Nida shetav lablo kavana, kagon shenof lasoch hamayim, o sheyarda lahaker, harezu mitaras abayil. The Mechaber paskins, the Gemara has this, etha machlokas amaram, nida lamin aleph amibes. Nida shenansa vitavla. A woman was tovelis without kavana. She was nansa. She's pushed off a bridge, fell into the mikvah, fell into the water. So that's machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, machlokas Rishonim that the Beis Yosef quotes. So the Mechaber passing like the Rambam that even if there's no kavana, the tefillah still works. And the Rama says the Yesh Machmirim umatzrichen osa tefillah charis. The Yesh lahachmir lechachila to require another tefillah. Now both the Taz and the Shach we alluded to a few moments ago, the Taz of Katan Mem, the Shach of Katan Samuch say that if ansa chaverta, if someone else pushed her in, that's good according to everyone, because the kavana of the pusher is sufficient to cover the pushed. Okay. There's a curious comment of the Piskei Tshuva here, Sivkata and Kavches, from the Chamudi Daniel, l'chora nira dafka chaverta aval ish lo mahani. When does it work if someone else pushes you in? That's if it's a woman. But if it's a man, that doesn't work. Why should that be? So Rav Vosner and the Shira Shevet Halevi asked, why should that be? The Chamudi Daniel Anida was recently published in a separate volume from the Ksav Yad, which I don't think was widely accessible beforehand. I looked it up and it's no clearer in there, other than the fact that he references the din that, which is a reference in the Ramah over here, that you should be careful. A woman comes out of the mikvah, so she shouldn't see a man. There shouldn't be a man waiting for her immediately when she comes out. It's unclear why there should be a difference as far as the kavana between a man and a woman. Piskei Tshuva Kaf Zayin quotes from Magen Avraham the following ha'ara, that in a situation where someone else pushes you in, so even if that's going to work, or if according to the Mechaber you fall in and you don't need kavana, even though the tefillah is going to work, you still can't say bracha. Even though it's true, as we'll talk about next time, that in general you only say the bracha on tefillah after you immerse. We'll talk about why. But you don't say it over l'asiyasa. So maybe you would argue that, okay, so here, l'maisa, the tefillah was good, even though you didn't have kavana. So you can still say bracha afterwards. So Magen Avraham says no, that you have to have, in order to say bracha afterwards, you still have to know at the time that you're tevelis that you're being tevelis l'shem tefillah. And then one more piskei tshuva kavav, moving backwards, also from the Chamudi Daniel, that let's say the woman's husband is sick, so she's going through the tara process in order to help him, but without kavanas tashmish. So that's also fine. You don't need kavanas tashmish. You just need the kavana that the tefillah is going to be effective to be matra labayla in whatever context, and that is sufficient kavan. Okay, we'll stop here. And next time we will kufsadi test we did already, chafifa. We're going to move on to Simon Reish, Birchas Tefillah, which I think I sent you Marmakov already.